Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I'm back home near Branson, Missouri. And we're going to kind of stay alert to what's happening all around us, which will be leading up to the time of the Book of Revelation, and especially the time of the seven-year period called the Tribulation. And something has happened just quite recently that points out what God said to us in the book of Zechariah, verse 12. Zechariah, verse 12. The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel. Thus saith Jehovah, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. In other words, he's the creator of everything. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples round about. And upon Judah also shall it be in the siege against Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples, or all the nations. All that burden themselves with it shall be sore wounded, and all the nations of the earth shall be gathered against it. Now, in his book, Zechariah, and commenting on it, David Barron writes, there are two oracles which make up the whole of the second half of the book of Zechariah. Both treat of war between the nations of the world and Israel, though in different manners. In the first chapters, 12 through nine through 11, the judgment through which the Gentile world power over Israel is finally destroyed, and Israel is endowed with strength to overcome all their enemies, forms the fundamental thought and center of gravity of the prophetic description in the last part of the book of Zechariah. In the second, chapters 12 through 14, it covers the judgment through which Israel itself is sifted and purged in the final great conflict with the nations, and transformed into the holy nation of Jehovah. And so we see that going into the seven-year period is like a bridge between now and the millennium. And in this bridge time here, Jerusalem, and even at the end of the years we are right now, he says, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling, a cup of judgment, a basin. In other words, God has a cup of judgment mentioned oftentimes in the scriptures, and he makes nations, Jeremiah 25, to drink of it. You drink of that judgment and it plays out in your nation's life. It's the judgment that comes to you because of how what you've done. And in the case of the nations, how they have treated Jerusalem. And so he says he's going to make Jerusalem, the city, the earthly city, a cup of reeling. They're going to drink of it, the nations of this world, and he's going to make Jerusalem the touchstone. The nations that you know all around you today and the nations of the Middle East that are all around Israel, they're going to be judged on how they treat Israel. And we have these scriptures gathered up for you. You can go to billybrim.org and you can get those scriptures. Now, he says here that he will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, and all that burden themselves with it shall be sore wounded. The King James says, cut to pieces. Everybody in the earth, all the nations now, are trying to solve the problem of Jerusalem. And that's exactly what God foretold would happen. We saw a very interesting item concerning this play out at the Democratic National Convention. The Democratic platform had excluded any mention of God, and also had excluded what had been in previous platforms of the Democratic Party, that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. And maybe you were watching the night this Fox News item says, the convention floor erupts as Dems restore references to God and Jerusalem in their platform. The floor of the Democratic National Convention erupted Wednesday over a sudden move to restore to the platform a reference to God and recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, after heavy criticism. Democrats, though, were hardly in agreement over the reversal. A large and loud group of delegates shouted no as convention chairman Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa called for the vote. He called three times for a voice vote, and there were people shouting no, no, no to God and to Jerusalem. There was a delegate from Ohio who said, I am an ordained Methodist minister, and I believe he is the one who said we should put it back in the platform. But here you saw two peoples, same political party, but they're there shouting over this question of Jerusalem. And of course, that's playing out all over the world, because many of the peoples that were shouting, no, 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 have backgrounds and roots in countries that are very much anti-Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. And so we see even a party divided over it, and the world will be divided over it. It was Governor Ted Strickland of Ohio who made a motion to change the platform. He said, this summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. I came before you today to discuss the two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I'm here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the value we have expressed in our party's platform. In addition, we recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should do so as well. And so you saw then that shouting over Jerusalem, which just demonstrates that we are in the preamble to the time of the book of Revelation, which we're looking into the book of Revelation. These things are happening all around us right now. Last night, I'm making it right now on September 12th. And of course, yesterday was the 11th anniversary of 9/11, when our nation was so critically hit. And I watched something last night before I went to bed. I believe it was TBN who was rebroadcasting from the National Cathedral a prayer meeting that had been called by then President George W. Bush. The prayer meeting was in the National Cathedral, and it was held 3 days after the Twin Towers were hit on Tuesday, September 11. All the living presidents came in. The leaders of the nation at that time were seated in the National Cathedral. You felt their hearts, their pathos. On every face was solemnity. On some, there was, especially some of the women in the crowd, there was deep weeping. And then they brought in the clergy. They had a Mohammedan clergyman. They had a Jewish rabbi. They had a Catholic father. And many of them, I didn't know where they were all from, but some of them you could tell were more evangelical types. But there was great scripture read from all of them. All of them read great scripture, except for, of course, the Muslim. And it just touched your heart, and especially as the camera would pan the audience or the congregation, you could see it on their faces. But the speaker of the evening was who brought the message of the evening, and I'm sure this was at President Bush's request, because he had requested the prayer meeting. Billy Graham said, he was the speaker. Billy Graham was 84 years old, had to be helped to the platform, but his voice was very, very strong. And he said, we need God. America has always needed God. And we need God now. He told about, or someone else did, it kind of went together for me, that the churches were full. People were streaming to the churches, and they were praying. My grandson reminded me today that Oral Roberts later had a vision And the Lord told him, the people came to the churches after 9/11, but the pastors were not ready for them. We have to be ready now, because things are happening quickly, fast and furious, and America needs God, and we have always needed God. Yesterday, we had a remembrance, 9/11, times of silence. Even the major networks honored a moment of silence, all except for one, NBC. But Al-Qaeda made strikes yesterday. I'm reading now from Devka File. Al-Zawahiri personally ordered Al-Qaeda to murder United States Ambassador Stevens. The United States Ambassador to Libya, Chris Stevens, and three staff members at the U.S. Consulate in Benghazi were deliberately murdered Tuesday night, September 11, just after memorial services ceremonies were held in America for the victims of the 9/11 outrage. Devka File's counterterror sources report exclusively that far from being a spontaneous raid by angry Islamists, it was a professionally executed terrorist operation by a professional Al-Qaeda assassination team whose 20 members acted under the orders of their leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri. After special training, they were all Libyans freed last year from prisons where they were serving sentences for terrorism passed during the late Muammar Gaddafi's rule. You see, they'd been in prison. Muammar Gaddafi had kept them there. And when the so-called Arab Spring came, they were released. It's the same in Syria. It's the same everywhere. We're eager to hop on the side of the rebels, and the rebels are largely organized by these groups, Al-Qaeda or Islamic Brotherhood. It's like you don't know which side to be on. And really, none of the sides are the God side. Libya. I already hear cries today, oh, let's don't take it out on the Libyans. Let's still keep giving them money. Let's still keep giving the Egyptians money because there was an attempted attack last night as well on our Egyptian places that we have in Egypt. Let's keep giving money. Let's keep throwing it down them. But you know, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 38, there's going to be a war. And that war is going to have Gog as its head, working down through Russia, Moscow, and one of the allies is Libya. So Libya is not going to turn out to be a democracy. It will be like Ezekiel 38 says. Egypt will also know the wars and the civil wars and the things that the 19th chapter of Isaiah says. And so, folks, all of these things are preambles-like to the book of Revelation. And tomorrow we'll go back and begin to study in chapter 8. Shalom.